we view product launch as like a traffic source. So we know when we get in there that we can bring in, you know, anywhere from 1,000 to 2,500 new customers every time we do a launch. It's a traffic source to us. So when we start thinking about the launches, we don't look at them as like, well, how can we make the most money off of the launch, which is what most people do. We start looking like, okay, how can we bring the most people in? And then once we have those people in, what are the things we can offer them that will help them get whatever it is they want to get, right?
This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Flowchart with your boy.
My boy.
Matt Wolf
and Joe Fit.
Hey.
Aloha, Matt.
Aloha, Joe.
Haha. Rolls right off the tongue.
It does. I mean, it makes me want to be in Maui.
Yeah, I'll be going to Kauai soon. Yeah. Maybe I'll swim over to
I don't care, Tom. Joe. I don't care that you get to go to Hawaii.
I'll send you beautiful pictures. You get to go too.
I do through videos and
you get to go whenever you want.
That is true, I guess. I guess technically.
You
get I'm choosing to, not you, to go right now.
And you listening, you get to go too.
All right, guys. I'm out. See you later.
Yeah, I'll take this one, Matt. All right. So the reason why we're talking about Maui and Hawaii and all that fun stuff is we have Tom Gaddis on the phone. Phone? Yeah. On the podcast.
This is the new phone. Come on. People don't use their phone anymore as a phone. They use their computer as a phone. Now they use their phone as a computer, and their computer as a phone.
And your six-year-old son creates phones with Legos that I saw now. So there's a whole another dimension happening in Legos.
Yeah, but when he pretends to be on that phone, he doesn't pretend like he's having a conversation. He pretends like he's using games and apps. So people use their phones
backwards
as computers now, and they use their computers as phones.
Yes.
Mind blown.
That was a good one. Put her here. All right. So the reason we were talking about Maui and I don't know about the phone thing, but I misspoke. Triggered something, a whole mind explosion for all of us. Thank you, Matt. We're talking to Tom Gaddis.
We are.
And his company is called Offline Sharks. But the bigger thing is this guy is launching products and creating a community and engaging with that community and being very profitable along the way in a way that we have not heard before.
Yeah. Well, he's using tools that we used to mess around with 10, 11 years ago. And we didn't know people were still using some of these tools. So to me, I was just really fascinated by the fact that this stuff is still in use. And I'm being kind of vague because I think it builds some suspense for the actual episode.
Oh, but you've been studying storytelling and writing.
Don't give all the behind the scenes.
So this is that confusion part.
This is the confusion part where people are like, what the hell are they on about right now?
Just hurry up and get to the episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's true. Like, suspense, it's good. But yeah, he's using methods and all this stuff that we've either like kind of done before, but like we haven't thought of, but obviously why would we think of everything?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm saying that. The point is, this is really interesting and it's a launch plan that everyone can follow.
Yeah. So he's going to talk about basically an email strategy that is a different approach than you've probably heard of people talk about in email strategy. He also has a live streaming show that he does weekly, which is a really freaking cool concept. And so I was really excited to dive into the sort of particulars about the live stream, and he did not disappoint.
He did not. So let's. You will want to get the action guides to this episode.
Yeah.
Go to, and be quick, because you only have 2 weeks to do this or they go away, flowchartgroup.com, and you will be redirected to our Facebook group.
Yes.
And that is where you have the opportunity to plug in your email address to receive said action guide of Tom's episode. So flowchartgroup.com, go there, plug your email address in there, and you'll get the notes of this episode. So you don't have to take the notes.
Go do it.
You just listen. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I mean, no, not bye yet. Nope. Let's go talk to Tom.
All right, Tom. Welcome to the show, my man. Been eager to hit record. Yeah. Aloha. You're in our favorite place, man, Maui.
Yeah.
Well, outside of San Diego.
Hey, San Diego is really nice. I got to go there for the first time, like, couple of Octobers ago. It was great. I thought Little Italy was fantastic. Yeah. What a great area.
Yeah, man. Well, I think I emailed it to you, but remember this place called Poo Poo Lounge in Kihei in Maui?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I used to love going there, and I saw it shut down the last time I was there. I was like, no.
Well, some guy bought it. There's another restaurant there now. It's called, It's not called the Poo Poo Lounge. I forget what it's called, but there, that location is actually open. There's a new guy there.
Cool.
The food's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I'll be back. Yeah. I'm sure others probably recognize the name or have been through there.
I just remember they had legendary Mai Tais. That's what I remember about it.
Yeah.
Can't come to Maui without getting a Mai Tai.
That's right, man. But yeah, we got connected and I loved your story. The whole, like, the Maui connection was always like, I was like, okay, cool. If you're in Maui, you're doing something cool and fun and fascinating. And you told me you're from Oklahoma originally, right? And
yep. He's right there. There's a picture of Maui on the wall.
You have a picture of Maui over here. That's like distracted by the talk of Maui. So I'm kind of curious about going on back, because we have so many mutual friends in this space, but we never cross paths. But it sounds like you kind of uprooted yourself and completely changed everything you were doing.
Yeah, well, so... Yeah. So I'm originally from Oklahoma, and I was like a restaurant manager back there, and I was working in the restaurant business, and I had worked for a writer for a little while, and that kind of got me interested in online marketing. Mm-hmm. I was trying to help them market some books online, and it was really just something I kind of did on the side. And I was doing the restaurant thing full time, but I hated it. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to do it anymore. And so when my wife and I decided to move to Maui, I thought, this will be great, man. I'll just, like, I won't have a job. I'll just go to Maui and I'll start, you know, building my own business. And so my wife is like, Tom, like, you've never even been to Hawaii. Maybe you want to have a job, like, when we get there, just in case. And so it's so funny. The Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Yep.
Just happened to be hiring for a restaurant manager on Maui.
It was like Lahaina, so random. Or something?
Yep. Yeah. In Lahaina. Yeah. So I did this interview over the phone in Oklahoma, and like, I didn't want the job. So when they asked me how much I made, I told them like 10 grand more than I made in Oklahoma. And they were like, okay, we're good with that. And I'm like, what?
You're like, crap.
So I actually flew to Maui on July 4th. I did my final interview on July 6th. And I started work at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company on July 8th.
Dang.
So it was like, bam, bam, bam. Right. And then like 8 months later, I get fired. And I'm like, now what do I do? Right. Uh-huh. Like, what am I going to do? So I thought, well, I'll start a business. I'll try to do some, I had worked with some local clients before. Right. And so I started I was really doing everything. I was trying to make money online. I was also trying to get clients, and like nothing was working. I was on unemployment. My unemployment is about to run out. They're like, look, you can't be on here anymore. You know, you've been on here for like 51 weeks. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And so I saw this guy on the mainland. He did these jumbo postcards. And here I have one. So they look like this, right? Uh-huh. And so all you do is you just go around and say, hey, I'm going to mail this thing out. I've got 7 ads on each side, and you charge $500 for an ad space. Mm. Well, mm-hmm. It was really great because I didn't need any money to do this, right? Like, I literally just went down to Office Max, had them make up like a laminated mock-up, mm-hmm. cost me like $30, and I just started walking into businesses. And within 7 days, I had sold 16 spots. I'd made a little over 7 grand. 4 grand of that was profit. And I told my wife, like, I'm never getting a job again.
Love it.
Yeah. And so after I did that, I came across this ClickFunnels thing. Uh-huh. Right. And Russell Brunson had this webinar, and I wanted to buy ClickFunnels. I didn't have the money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was trying to get this coupon thing going, but I was really like, Maui's expensive. I was really struggling. So I actually borrowed the money to get a ClickFunnels account, like the year thing. And so then about a year, like, as the postcards started to catch on and I started getting traction, my agency started I was doing 6 figures in my agency. And I had paid my friend back for this ClickFunnels account, but like, I wasn't doing anything with it. So I was like, hey, I'll put out a product. And I made a product on how to do this postcard. Hmm. And that was the first online course I launched. And for whatever reason, it took off. Like, it sold really well. And then just this past December, I got that ClickFunnels award, the 2 Comma Club award, yeah. Which was really crazy to me because I freaking borrowed the money to get the software, right? Yeah. And like, here full they are circle, sending me a ClickFunnels award. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a cool story, man. And that's, yeah, it's just, I like the scrappiness of it all, the hustle of it all, you know, and just like I'm going all in. So, I mean, from there though, and something caught my attention, and then I was chatting with Matt from our first conversation, how, you know, you're basically doing a lot of the selling in some marketplaces that we used to hang out in like many, many, many years ago. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about the Warrior Forum, Warrior Plus, and yep. how you've done some launches there. And we're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then you kind of talked about the style of the way that you do launch things, your mindset and what happens afterwards. And we're like, okay, this is going to be an interesting conversation here. So you're doing some different things.
Well, and we were talking before we hit record too. And you sort of explained how you look at launches differently than anybody I've ever heard explain a launch. So I that might be a good place to start, like how you use the launches in your sort of unique method.
Sure. Like, well, I mean, first let's talk about Warrior Plus, and then I'll talk a little bit about that. Cause it didn't start out that way. Right. Like anybody who's listening to this, who's trying to start a business, like I'm going to talk about a lot of things we have going on in our online business. And you might be like, oh my God, that's so much. And like, how do you do that? Like, well, the way you do that is like one thing at a time. Like it's a process. I think a lot of people don't really realize the reality of that statement, that building a big business is a process that happens over time. Mm-hmm. Like you don't just spring forth into the marketplace with a booming community and podcasts and YouTube channels. And like that all happens over time. And it's really doing one thing at a time. But Warrior Plus was a place where I bought products from, like when I was trying to figure out how to make money online, how to build an agency. A lot of people sold products about that on Warrior Plus. So I was familiar with the stuff that was sold there because I was like one of the customers, mm-hmm. right? So when you're looking for where to go to like put something out, I think that's a good place to start. Like, well, who do I buy my products from and where are those people, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I like to tell people about that is like when you're buying products and stuff from people, like be a good customer. And that means like if somebody comes and they buy something from you guys, right? And they ask smart questions and they talk to you, like you're going to help them because they're a customer of yours, right? Okay. And then later down the road, if they come to you and they're like, hey, I've got this thing going, you would probably at least take a look at it. Like you may not do anything with it, but you'd probably at least take a look at it, maybe offer them a little bit of feedback.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's kind of how you get your fingernails in the hold of the market, right? Like, that's how I kind of did it. Since I had bought products from people and communicated with them with no idea that I was eventually going to do a product of my own. Mm. But when the time came, they were more than happy to support me as affiliates because I was a good customer of theirs.
Yeah.
Right. They were like, oh yeah, this guy buys a lot of our stuff. Like anyway, so that's the first thing. But Warrior Plus in general, like a lot of people had just kind of like written it off. Like they had sort of just, you know, a lot of people started there and they just move on. They get busy. They build bigger businesses. They just go on to other things. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when we came onto Warrior Plus, it was kind of like, there really honestly wasn't a lot of people on there putting out good stuff. Like probably could count them on one hand that actually put out.
That's been our experience.
Yeah, everybody else was pretty shady. Right. And I think a lot of people tend to stay away from places like JVZoo, Warrior Plus because of that. I don't know if it's because we just don't know any better or what, but we decided like, well, forget that. Like we'll just be a great vendor in this sea of other vendors. And like what happened was because we focused on building support, because we answered people, because we, you know, did what we said we were going to do. Like we started to grow really fast on Warrior Plus because we were way different. Like, I can't tell you how many emails we'd get from people that'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe you answered my support question. Right? Wow. Like, cause that was just the norm, right? Like the norm was you send in a question or you ask for a refund and you get all kinds of pushback and flack. And like, we didn't do that. We were just like, hey, you want a refund? Like, and here's a refund. Like there's no questions asked, none of that stuff. So, you know, we built up a reputation real quick for being a good vendor. Right. Mm. And there's a lot of great customers in those places if you're a good vendor.
Mm-hmm. That's a good reframe.
If you're a good vendor, there's a lot of great customers there and a lot of great affiliates and things you can work with. So, you know, as we were doing more product launches, like what we use product launches for, and I think this is what Matt was kind of referring to, is we view product launches like a traffic source. Mm-hmm. So to us, they're just like running, just like most people would run Facebook ads. Like I know you guys do a ton of Facebook ads, right? Mm-hmm. Well, for us, the launch is our traffic source. So we know when we get in there that we can bring in, you know, anywhere from 1,000 to 2,500 new customers every time we do a launch. So it's like it's a traffic source to us. So when we start thinking about the launches, we don't look at them as like, well, how can we make the most money off of the launch, which is what most people do. Mm-hmm. We start looking like, okay, how can we bring the most people in? And then once we have those people in, what are the things we can offer them that will help them get whatever it is they want to get, right? Mm. Like how can we start to bring them value? And of course that entails selling them things, right? There's different things they can buy and stuff like that. So for us, the launch is two things. One, it's a traffic source. And it's worked out really well for us because we don't, like, instead of having to pay for traffic, like we're getting paid. Like, even though we say we don't want to make money off the launches, like we've never had one that we haven't.
You flip the tables completely, and you have the best intent, which is a buyer's intent, and you can take them on that journey from that point on.
Yeah, exactly. Like our email list is not a big email list, but everybody on it is a buyer. And they are like when we, you know, support things and do promotions, like we bring some heat because we've like, you know, we focused on building, like once the person comes in through the launch or whatever, like we do a lot of stuff. Like we have indoctrination sequences. We have a Facebook group. We're really active in there. We do a Facebook live show every week. There's a podcast, there's a YouTube channel, right? Like there's all these things to make them a part of the community. Right. And so, you know, that has served us really, really well. Especially the Facebook Live, something that we didn't really think was going to do that well. But like that thing has turned into like sometimes if we need to support someone, like because they supported our launch, but we don't have time, like we don't want to email our list because we have something going on or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like we can just go on the Facebook Live show and talk about the offer. And we can usually make anywhere from 100 to 200 sales just off of the Facebook Live show.
I love that. Right? Because now that's just bolt-on revenue on in a community where you're leading with value, you know, with this thing. And you have a pitch in there. It's like a mini webinar in a way.
Yeah. Well, really, the whole Facebook Live is just us hanging out, talking, asking questions, doing stuff. But at the end, right. We always say like, hey, you know, there's this thing that came out today. We wanted to bring it to your attention. And yeah, so it's not really even a hard, like we don't hard pitch. We just, you know, sometimes we bring the person that creates the product on as our guest.
Right? Okay.
And so that's good. Yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah. It allows us to like the kind of dark side of doing Warrior Plus launches and this affiliate style building your business is that if people promote you, they expect you to promote them.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And that can be difficult when you're trying to, like, when you really start thinking about the people on your list as real people and you're really trying to help them, like, you don't just want to be sending every offer. Like, you have to draw some lines. And if that means, you know, people aren't going to support you, you just have to be okay with that. Right. And we've sort of made that decision. Like, yes, we want to support everybody that supports us when it makes sense. Like, it's got to be a good offer. It's got to be quality. It's got to fit in with what we're doing. All those kinds of things.
Yeah. I want to get into the weeds for a minute with the actual Warrior Plus stuff. And then I actually want to circle back around to the Facebook Live stuff because I think there's a lot there that I think would be really interesting to dissect. I know it's not something we talked about going down that path, but now I'm fascinated. So I need to hear more. But going back to the Warrior Plus thing, like how does it look these days? From what I remember with the Warrior Forum, they had like the WSO area, right? And you would pay, I don't know, $50 or something like that to post it, and then when new posts sort of pushed it down, then you could pay to boost it back to the top, right? Does it still kind of work the same? I'm just kind of curious about how that all works behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's all that stuff is gone. So really what happens with Warrior Plus is you're just doing affiliate roundup, right? So there's no more posts on the Warrior Forum or anything like that. Like people will just go right to your sales page or whatever page you have is the beginning of your offer.
Gotcha.
So when you add your products and stuff in the back of Warrior Plus, like they start showing up in the marketplace where affiliates go and look for things to promote. Right.
Gotcha.
Really, I think that best way to kind of break into that is like I said, be a good customer of other people, right? But you do have to like, you do have to reach out to affiliates. Like it's not, you can't just make a post like in the old days and be like, just let it run. Like you have to at least line up one or two people to promote what you're doing. The interesting thing is if you get a couple of just okay affiliates and your offer starts making sales, other affiliates will just come on. Cause one of the nice things about Warrior Plus is they have like a top sellers list, right? Mm-hmm. And if your offer is doing good and it's resonating with people, like you'll start to climb up that list and other affiliates will jump in and things like that. But you do have to cultivate those relationships, like reach out to people and be like, hey, you know, I have an offer coming out. And I don't care what people say, like that's hard to do in the beginning when you don't have any traction, right? Oh, yeah. Like
unproven.
Once you can, once you can support somebody and show them that you can generate some sales, it changes the whole ball game.
Right.
But it's a struggle in the, like, you just have to keep at it until somebody breaks and says, okay, I'll help you out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like,
you keep asking,
giving away a lot of free product, like asking for a lot of intros. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, check out this. Here's access. Like, what, you know, what can I do? What can I do to help you that you would help me type of a thing?
I think one of the things I remember about like doing a lot of Warrior Plus type stuff back in the day was how many messages I would get from people asking for review copies so that they can become affiliates.
Oh, yeah.
And then, and like 99% of them never actually turned into affiliates.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, like any marketplace, like, you know, Warrior Plus is just one. There's also JVZoo. There's also ClickBank. Like what I would do if I were trying to, if I were back in the beginning going to break in, you know, I would go into those marketplaces and I would look every day at who's launching what and how those products are doing. Cause all of those places, ClickBanks, JVZoo, Warrior Plus, all have a place where you can go and see who's selling what and how it's doing, like what the best sellers are for the day, the week, the last 30 days. I would just start looking to see like, okay, well, what are those offers? Like, what are the things that seem to be resonating with buyers in this? Like, cause then you'll know what people are willing to promote, right? Like these offers are obviously resonating. Another little good secret thing. I hope my business partner doesn't mind that I share this, but another little secret thing is everybody runs affiliate contests, right? They'll give away money. So in Warrior Plus, you can see those leaderboards, even if you're not an affiliate.
I like it.
So you can go and look at somebody's offer and go look at their contests because you'll see who is promoting their offer. And if you have an offer that is similar or you think resonates well with that, then you might want to reach out to those people on their leaderboard, right? And be like, hey, I have this offer. I think it'd be a good fit for you, that type of thing. So that's another little trick you can use. Yeah. Not just looking at the offers and stuff, but also look at the affiliate contest leaderboard, see who's on there. Yeah. Like who are the movers and shakers? And then if you don't know those people, do you know anybody that may know them? Like we, you know, we did a lot of, in the beginning, we just worked with small affiliates. But as we were working with small affiliates, like we would see like there'd be a small affiliate over here, but they would know a big affiliate.
Yeah.
So we did some strategic deals with those small affiliates because we knew they knew the big affiliate. And what that did was put us on the big affiliate's radar. Because they were like, oh, I saw you did this thing with this person over here that I know, you know? And so that was another little strategy we used to build up our base of people that promote.
Super smart, man. I mean, that's something that everyone can do. And I don't think we've been in those communities or those marketplaces like ClickBank and like you said, JVZoo and all, Warrior Plus in a long time. But there's so much public data out there that gives you at least a focus of where you kind of should start with. Mm-hmm. You know, even with a new product, it's probably great for researching and you're like, oh, that's
it is.
A
you can,
crappy offer. I could do better than that. Or, you know,
yeah, well, like, or you can just see what people are buying.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Like this is what people are buying. Like the people in that buy products in those places are no different from the people everywhere else,
right?
Like they're still people, they're still human nature. There's, so you can oftentimes see like what, you know, what things in the headlines are the most appealing, like what angles seem to be working the best. Like there, it's pretty, all that information is there, right? When you do that. The thing with, you know, the other thing about the affiliate stuff though, I think, and this is really important for us is like, you just have to make a decision like to run your business in an ethical way. And then regardless of what everyone else does around you, you just have to try not to let that get to you and just continue to run your business in an ethical way. And if that means not doing business with people that you really want to do business with, you just got to freaking bite the bullet and not do it, because there are a lot of shady people in that space. Oh, and so, you know, we conduct ourselves in a certain way and we expect people to do that same thing to us. And when they don't, we're pretty clear about like, hey, like this isn't cool. Like that's not how we run our business. And you know, so perfect, I think that's important, right? Yeah. And it can get frustrating sometimes, but
you got to run your own race. You know, it's almost like you play in the blinders, you know, your own blinders, but like you're there for a reason, because you can stand out with quality and you're actually treating people as humans and not just, you know, churn and burn the list and on to the next promotion, which.
Yeah. You don't want to do those kinds of things. And as you grow, the bigger you get, it's obviously easier to do that, right? Because people start to see, they're like, okay, you know, like if, you know, Russell Brunson comes knocking on your door and says, I want to promote your stuff. You're not going to be like, no, you'd be like, okay, what do I need to do? Right.
I was just going to say, what do I got to do for you?
What do you want? So, you know, it does help as you grow and get bigger, but it's still possible to do all that stuff in the beginning.
Now, are you just taking the products and putting them on all the platforms? So if you have a new launch you're doing, you put it on Warrior Plus, JVZoo, ClickBank, and just spread the, you know, spread the deck, widen the net.
we just do ours on Warrior Plus. So Warrior Plus has kind of a little more of a built-in mark. So like our courses and products are mainly aimed at people that are trying to build a digital agency. Mm-hmm. They're freelancers. They're like website designers, SEOs, social media. Mm-hmm. Like we have an agency here that we help local businesses with in Hawaii. So a lot of the courses we put out are courses on how we're growing our agency, how we're doing that stuff. Like we're teaching them what we're doing there. Mm-hmm. So Warrior Plus is just kind of a good place for that market. It just tends to do better. Mm-hmm. JVZoo, more recently, it's been really, really good there if you have a software.
Right.
And the software is something you can use to get paid by helping local businesses. Right. So, but they're more of a like software focus. Like it's harder to do a good launch on JVZoo if you don't have software. That's just what the affiliates there promote, what the market's used to buying. Hmm. There's also differences in pricing and the way things are structured. So, you know, we just pick one. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to do Warrior Plus, we just pick Warrior Plus, right? Because we know kind of like what like our front end offers, like we know $27 is a good price point for a front end offer. Mm-hmm. Now on JVZoo, that's really low. Like JVZoo, because you're running with software, you might want to run $47 or $37, right? So it depends on what you're offering, what you're doing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to come back to the live stream thing, the Facebook lives that you're doing. You know, how did that get started up? And, you know, what was the thinking behind doing that? You know, why did that enter your business ecosystem?
Well, so with the live streams, so we're always looking for ways like how can we bring people into a community, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really want to, like, we want that. We want people to be excited to be a part of what we're doing, right? Yeah. So very early on when we were starting our first products, like we started a Facebook group. One of the things with that though is, and I think this is why so many people struggle with Facebook groups and stuff like that, is because they're a freaking lot of work.
They are. Like, people don't realize that when you start a community, you're like,
you think, you're like, oh, I'll just make this group. Everybody's going to come in. They're going to start doing their thing. Like, I'll just be so hands off. Like, it is not like that at all. Like, it takes a dedicated person or two to be posting content in there, to be responding to posts, to be generating the activity, right? So, you know, we spent a lot of time in the beginning doing those things, because we knew, like, if people came in and they didn't feel like it was a great place to learn, like, they would just, you know, they would go and, like, we'd be starting from zero the next time we did a product launch. And, like, we didn't want to do that, right? Like, we wanted to build something where, look, if somebody buys one thing from us, they'll want to buy the next thing or whatever that is, right? So the Facebook group was kind of the start of that. And then as we started to grow, we were like, hey, you know, what else can we do? And we had this idea of doing this Facebook live show. And so we really just, like, we set a time It's like Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern. And so like we were doing it before the pandemic, right? Like we just kind of started to do it. We were doing it every week. Honestly, we weren't getting much traction. Like we maybe had 30, 40 people there, 50 people, whatever. Then the pandemic hits.
Oh yeah.
And like on a Friday, we've got like 350 people on a Facebook Live, like more people than were showing up for webinars, because what were they going to do? And so when we saw that, we were like, oh man, like there's something here, but how can we make sure to keep this going once the pandemic's over? Right. So we started thinking about like, what can we do? Like, what would make this show fun? So, you know, we have like, we started developing segments. So we do, so our company's called Offline Sharks, right? So this is another little tip. So that name, which we like struggle with all the time, is so crazy because people love the shark side of it. So like people in our group are always like, oh, fins up, like the sharks are hungry. Like I found this shirt online and people are always like, oh my God, that shirt is so great.
That's
and
what I was wondering. Like, I was like, is that yours or?
No, it's not ours. It was just a workout one I found, but I was like, this is so perfect. But people post shark memes in our group. Like they have all, like they really get behind this idea of being a shark, right? Like not a shark, like in a bad way, but just like being a part of the sharks. So we do these, we started these things called shark shout outs.
Okay.
So at the beginning of every Facebook Live show, we celebrate people that posted their wins in the Facebook group from the week before. And for us, like that's people that are getting clients that are closing deals. And so every week, you know, we have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people that have closed deals the week before that we're shouting out to. And in the beginning, it was just like, hey, finding their posts and saying like, that's great. This is what we're doing. Now what we do is like, we make a graphic and we make a post in the Facebook group on Fridays. And like when we're on the live, we tell everybody to go to the post and leave comments congratulating all the shout out members. Nice. We still shout them out on the show, but now we got all this engagement on this post. At the end of the show, we go through everybody that left a comment and like we give out $25 in Cash App money to 2 or 3 people. Like we have a money giveaway. So we've got this theme song that goes with the money giveaway. It's like, it's all crazy now, right? So that's one thing. We started a section like what's Tom reading, where every week I read a book and then I talk about the book, right? We have a section that's like a Q&A. We've got a member of the week. So we do a member of the week. So we just call somebody out for being super active in our Facebook group. We send them some special Offline Shark swag, right? Like, and they always post pictures in the group. So, you know, we do a lot of stuff like that on the Facebook Live, right? Like just getting people pumped up, excited, you know, we call it, cause we're in Maui, we call it the Aloha Friday Marketing Jam session. And people can come and ask questions and right. Like, so it's really just a great place for them to come and just kind of hang out and, and find out what's going on. Like we talk about stuff that's happening in our agency, like successes we've had. We even talk about crappy things that happened to us. Like, you know, we had a client that was like, we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. Like we just try to be, we just try to be authentic with them. Right. And that really resonates.
Dude, so, it's your people too. And they're all, you know, those are all customers of yours, but the point is they're all people and they're following you on your journey and you're helping them on theirs. But you're like doing such, you're like a creator, like going to YouTube, like, you know, kind of going down that rabbit hole. You way deeper right now. But like, it's a lot of that. Like, yeah, you know, that's a part of it. You have a show and what a cool way to use that show just to your customers on Facebook Lives too.
And this all in a Facebook group. That's where it lives.
It all happens in the Facebook group. We tried for a while to like, we were streaming it to different things. Like we were streaming it to YouTube and some other places, but we decided we wanted the engagement inside the group. So, you know, we do a lot of, there's a post in the group, go there, leave a comment, do this kind of stuff. Right. The shout outs have been a real big hit with people. And it also too, like, you know, there's something I think to be said for, you know, when I put out my first product, like, I think one of the things that resonated with people was that I wasn't a slick product marketing creator. Like I was this guy who was like, I got a wife, I got 2 kids. And I did this thing with this postcard. I wasn't talking about making millions of dollars. I was just talking about how I just made a couple of $1,000s, right? Like, and I think a lot of people would think not to do something like that because they'd think, oh, nobody's going to buy that.
Sure.
I would argue that people resonate more with those small wins, because it's like they look at that and they go, like, I always thought people looked at my first sales video, which is so crappy, and they just went, oh man, if this schmuck can do it, like I can do it. So I might as well buy this thing. Right. Like, yeah. I almost want them to have that kind of feeling, because I am just an average guy. Like, there's nothing special about me, nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, if you don't have to be the big marketing guru expert. If you have something that works and you feel confident it can help people, then you just show it. Right. And the Facebook Live is another way to do that, because sometimes people come in our group and it's one thing when they see Nick and myself having success, because they just think, oh, well, of course, like you guys are you're the experts. Of course you're going to have success. But when they see, you know, Jocelyn and Jacqueline and Dorn and Randy and all the people that they see commenting in the Facebook group talking about the $1,500 deal they closed, the $4,000 website thing they got, the like, hey, I tried this service and I got a client for $800 a month. Like, when they see that, it all becomes like real. Like, they go, yeah, oh man, maybe I can do this. Right. Like, and so, and it's really awesome to see people go through that transition of like, you just see them in the group and then all of a sudden they're like, I got my first client, and they're so excited and we're excited for them. And
that's like, the best way, man. Yeah. It's just get the whole group together. And then it's like everybody's momentum is growing together in unison, and you're sparking that every single week. I mean, I just love the whole idea of a weekly show.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you're doing all these other things, but like, it's very purposeful. You have it organized and like, you're doing some very unique stuff. I love the cash giveaways to incentivize interactions too. It's like, come on.
Oh yeah. We have this graphic that we play this song at Money, 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 and we've got this graphic of a shark and dollar bills. It's really like, we tried it. Like, we thought, oh man, this song is so corny. So we stopped doing it. And like, people are like, where's the money song? Like, they totally dug it. They were like, where's the money song? What are you guys doing? Right. Like, oh, okay. Oh,
man. Yeah. We have similar stories with our own brand. We actually have a like beatbox at the beginning of the show. We took it out for like 3 episodes and we had a bunch of people tell us what happened to the beatboxing. We're like,
what's going on?
We were trying to be more professional. They're like, no, stop that.
Stop being pros.
Yeah, exactly.
I just love this. This was totally like a different direction than we even planned on going, I think.
Yeah, do our shows ever go in the direction we're planning on taking? No.
But I like it, man. I mean, like, you basically showed from starting from nothing by how anyone can really take this journey or any journey they want to go on. But like, there are unique marketplaces in place to look for data. There's ways to launch something initially. And I love the whole launch thing of like, hey, get paid for your launch. But actually, like, you're cultivating a buying community and this bond with people in a way that most people never get. And then now you have a way to engage them and, you know, keep that momentum going and sell them more stuff along the journey and what they need. I know there's a whole the milk it method. It might be even too late to even get into that now. We've kind of like bounced around.
And I think we've already talked about elements of the milk it method and what
we did. Yeah. We talked a lot about it. I would say a couple of things are like, you know, a lot of people, I think, try to, like, the way we've been able to build and grow what we did is just by trying stuff and then refining it and trying different things and refining it. It's, again, like I said in the beginning, it's a process, right? Like, I think too many people they get to this place where they want to make money online and they still live in the fantasy that there's some idea, hack, software that they can just sit around and do nothing and make money. Yep. My experience, and I don't know what your guys' experience is, but my experience has been that does not exist.
It does not.
So you just have to get over that and be prepared to just put in the work, right? Like, we spent a lot of time creating content and doing stuff when really nobody was listening, but we just kept doing it anyway, right? We just kept doing it.
Yeah.
So I would say that to people that are thinking about doing this, like, you know, just be an authentic person, be a good person, try to do something. And, you know, like, if it doesn't work, just keep trying other stuff. Yeah. Right? Like, don't give up.
Don't stop.
Now, I'm curious, with the Facebook Lives, are you, every time you go live, do you mail the list? Do you do anything to let people know? Or is it just kind of so organic that everybody knows it's happening, so people pop on every Friday?
No, we do. We mail them. We let them know, like, hey, the Facebook Lives today, the live starting. You know, when the chat bots were like really good, like, I don't know what Facebook did. They changed the chat box and like, but when we were able to use our chat bot and run people, that was really, really powerful with those events.
Yep.
But I think part of it is like the thing with stuff like that, and you guys know this from doing a podcast, it's all about, it's really not so much about having the best content. It's about consistency.
Always.
Yeah. Like if you can just show up, like you just have to make that decision that like, no matter what, on Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern, we're doing this live show. Like if you start it and then like the third week, you're like, oh, I'm busy. You know, we'll just postpone this week. Like, oh, maybe we'll do it on Tuesday. Like you can't get your people have no consistency. So the fact that we've been doing it now for over a year, every Friday at 3 p.m. and it doesn't change, it doesn't go away. Like that just bring, like people just know to be there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, what are you going to do? So I'm thinking, and this is, maybe you have a solution for this, but like, if you do want to travel or go away for a Friday, so I'm thinking for podcasting, we batch record and, you know, all of that stuff is super important to get ahead. Do you have some plans? So if like you did want to go away somewhere on a Friday?
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, there's two of us, right? So sometimes, like I've done the live show by myself when Nick had something to do. He's done it by himself.
Yeah.
We always have that option, right? I think once you have some consistency, if there really was an emergency and we weren't there for Friday, it wouldn't be the end of the world, right? But as long as we're not doing that often, right?
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, and I don't know if we may have not done it one Friday. I can't remember if it was a hot, like people understand when it's holidays and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. And I throw that out there mainly is that is like an objection or one of those stopping points that people have sometimes when wanting to do something like this. It's like, but what if it's like, let's just get the ball moving, you know, and there are ways around it, but.
And you can, I mean, you can try different days and see what works best. Like, I don't think Friday was the day we started with. We just like eventually moved to that day.
Yeah.
So I think we were maybe doing it like on a Wednesday when we started and then we moved to Friday.
Well, we covered a whole ton and I know like the whole milk it method, like. I think on your website, don't you have like a whole deep dive on that? Like, because
there's a little PDF there that you can download about the milk up method. I mean, real quick, it's just milk stands for market, idea, launch, and ka-ching. So it's really the kind of blueprint and the process that I've followed to first, I used it to create my agency and that postcard mailer. And then I used it to create Offline Sharks. And it's really a nifty thing because like when you follow it, like you always know what to do next. And usually growing and expanding or scaling isn't about finding something new to do. It's about just doing the things you're already doing better or doing them more, right? So you can follow that framework of that milk framework to do just about anything, whether you're offering a service or launching a product. The kind of subtitle to it is it's the Milk It Method, how to turn any product, idea, skill into a huge cash cow. Ooh, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is like the podcast is something I started to kind of talk about how we've been growing Offline Sharks. So like, there's nothing really for sale over there. Like the Milk It Method isn't a way to get you on my list to sell you some big high dollar course or private code. Like I don't have any of that. I really just wanted to put it out there because with everything that happened during the pandemic and all that stuff, people wanted that information. And I thought, well, if I can help people, like I've always really believed in that thing Jay Abraham said, where it was like, if you know how to do something, you have a moral obligation to help the people behind you that are trying to do it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the stuff that you, if you go to my website or you go to offlinesharks.com, you'll see almost all of that stuff is just us showing how we've done certain things, hopefully to help other people be able to do the same things. Like it's not rocket science, right? Like, hey, we tried something, it worked. So now here, look, we'll show you how to do it.
I love it, man. We share such a similar philosophy and just like, that's all, it's just been like a freaking bunch of experiments, throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks and like, cool, that worked. Let's do some more. Oh, cool. Now we have like three things on the wall. Let's keep building on top of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun that way. Yeah,
you just go from there.
And then you just share along the way. So, all right. So you have offlinesharks.com and tomgaddis.com, right?
Yep.
So
yeah,
perfect. And that's tomgaddis.com. But yeah, grab the PDF because that whole milk it method thing. I love the whole framework there.
Yeah. I need to go buy some of your products so that I can see these live streams on Fridays.
And I was going
to
say the same.
we want to do something similar, I think.
Just come into the group. The group is free to join.
Oh, it is. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I thought that was a customer group.
You can just go and request and they'll approve you.
How do we get to the group? How does anybody get
offline,
to
offline? Just go on Facebook and look up Offline Sharks.
Offline Sharks.
And you'll say Offline Sharks. Yep. You'll find the group and just request to join. They'll approve you, and then you can watch the live shows on a. Yeah. They're Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Eastern.
Awesome. Sweet.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was going to say the same. Like, I just want to go study and see how you're running the show, man, or your team.
Yeah, you
runs
can
the
see
show,
some too. Of the you can see some of the replays of the old episodes in there too.
Right on, man. Awesome. I love what you're doing. And the fact that you have a partnership and you're doing this very strategically. I mean, we'll be chatting again. I feel like we're very aligned in that regard.
Yeah, man. I love what you guys are doing. I appreciate having me on the show. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, we'll do it again, my man. Thanks, Tom.
Boom.
Shakalaka.
Boom, shakalaka.
Yeah, buddy. Man, Tom was cool.
Yeah, he was cool.
That guy.
Yeah, still is cool, I'm sure.
But, still is cool.
He's not with us anymore. I mean, he's still with us on Earth. He's just not with us in this room.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he is.
I need to do a lot of clarification here.
Made me a little nervous for a second. No, man, I love his perspective. I love the way that he's thinking about stuff. And yeah, man, talks our language, you know?
Yeah. No, I was just fascinated because so leading up to this interview, you know, I was on my road trip, and when I got back, you're like, we have to have this dude Tom on the podcast. I just got done talking to him. Did you know he's still doing shit on the Warrior Forum? Mm-hmm. And I was like, people do stuff on the Warrior Forum?
So it was close. We were close. Not quite on, yeah, Warrior Plus.
Yeah, he's using Warrior Plus. And but
it's a
still,
blast to the past a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you would have asked me today before this conversation, I probably would have been like, is Warrior Plus still around? I don't even know if that's still a thing.
No clue. Yeah.
It's just not the world that we've been in for a while. Like, we used to do a lot of stuff on the Warrior Forum, and we used tools like Warrior Plus and JVZoo to put products in the WSO area. And and then over time, the Warrior Forum became like spammier and spammier. And it was just like it was just kind of like a heaping pile of trash over time.
And we just, I mean, who knows what it is like now, but that's when we parted ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was like our kickoff. Like, the Warrior Forum was where we really created kind of a community. We met a lot of the buddies.
I launched my first ever product on there.
That's right.
And, you know, going back to something that Tom said too, was like, you know, he's not telling people they can make like big numbers and sharing like these huge things. He's actually sharing sort of like modest wins and saying, look, I'll show you how to make these modest wins as well. But going back to that, the first product I ever sold was the WordPress Classroom. And I originally sold it through the Alex Jeffries forum, right? Mm-hmm. That was the first place I kind of told people about it. But then I moved it over to the Warrior Forum next. And my sales message on it was, let me show you how I make $500 a month through blogging.
Dude, and so it's super attainable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it was a price point that was pretty low.
I think it was $10.
There you go. Very attainable. So it's like you could sell it on so many merits like that. And I mean, I just love the fact that that's such a great way to, you know, like the marketplace. You can see what's hot, what's trending, what's maybe flopping, so you can avoid that.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you're freaking getting buyers. You're getting feedback in real time. And if we were smart enough back in the day, I mean, like, some of this stuff didn't exist, but like, we weren't thinking of doing live streams, or like, obviously I didn't have that really going on, but they had some live streams.
Yeah, I don't know what the closest thing at the time was, probably Google Hangouts or something, I don't know.
But we weren't even thinking of like, how do we improve the experience after that one buy or that purchase, that point in contact? It's like, what's the next thing?
Oh, for and the longest
how do we give more value to that group of people in a singular place?
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, like, it was very misguided, and I do not recommend this path, but for the longest time, like, my goal was grow the list, promote affiliate products to the list is going to burn out, and then you got to do another launch to grow the list, and then you promote affiliate products to that list, and, you know, squeeze out as much money as you can from that list, and then eventually that list, you know, quote unquote, dies or unsubscribes or whatever, and then you go build a new list, and you just rinse and repeat. And looking back at it now, it feels very like icky, but that was sort of like,
well, you're calling what the list. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there was no like taking into account, these are like real humans on the other end that are, you know, like struggling with something, and we're trying to solve their problem. In our minds, it was all like, what marketing tactic is going to make me money? What marketing tactic is going to make me money? And the Warrior Forum and the WSOs and all that kind of stuff, it was like, this is a cool tactic that's working right now to put money in my bank account. But the other end of that transaction was like, barely even on my mind.
Yeah, no, same, man. It's interesting. And it's a cool perspective hearing Tom talk about this and how he's kind of like pieced things together. And all the way from being very scrappy, but not on the Warrior form or Warrior Plus. But like, we were a little bit more scrappy, I would say, on there then, you know, doing stuff. That was just like a big learning pot for us, you know. But man, it's just really cool how you, with this different perspective, anyone can go to a marketplace like that, get the data, test a new product out. You know, even if it's a super low level product, well, great. Now you're getting feedback and making money, getting traffic, and you could do all sorts of fun stuff with those people and literally like kind of grow together. Like he's showing people behind the scenes. He's doing all the stuff that we do on podcasting, but basically on a weekly show to his Facebook group and like cultivating the audience there.
I love his live stream concept. Like get everybody into a Facebook group and then do these weekly live streams, mail about them every time you go live so you get as many people on as possible. And then you just like share what's working now, share cool findings, share like whatever you feel like sharing.
Yeah.
You know, he does cash giveaways, but then also that is like an amazing opportunity to promote affiliate products. Mm-hmm. He flat out said he's making 100, 200 sales every time he goes live and mentioning affiliate products. Yeah. Like, how sweet is that? That's a pretty legit kind of thing. And he's kind of just having fun with it.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, he's, it's really, really, really cool. I mean, you mentioned, you've been going down, I mean, we are now collectively going down the rabbit hole of YouTube and creators and all that stuff. But, you know, you've definitely gone down way deeper than I. But you mentioned even Pat Flynn.
Yeah.
And how he's, it seems like he's going super heavy on YouTube.
Yep.
And the way I'll bring this back is like, I know I've watched a lot of Pat's stuff, not really the Pokemon channel, because that's the one that you said is like blowing up.
I've only seen one video on it, but I was just shocked when I looked at that video of like, holy crap, this video's got 30,000 views and he's got like, or no, maybe he has 30,000 subscribers and this video had like 100,000 views or something. I was just blown away by the numbers on the one video I saw where he was talking about Pokemon cards, not even his like primary niche.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how he grew it. I mean, I'm sure he parlayed some stuff from his other audience, but either way, like I know he does a lot of giveaways and a lot of incentivizations to get people to engage, to subscribe, to do, and that's like Mr. Beast stuff, you know? Like there's cash prizes, there's contests, there's yada yada. Like there's celebrations, like that's what he's doing and that's what Tom's doing in the Facebook group, and he's using that and just kind of that creator model in a way, or a show model.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool how thoughtful it is.
Yeah, I dig it. There's there's another guy that I've been paying attention to a little bit on YouTube named Meet Kevin. And he's like a big YouTuber, but almost everything he does is live streams. And it sounds very similar to what these guys are doing, just on a huge, bigger scale. I was actually watching a video yesterday where they were breaking down the equipment that Meet Kevin uses, and he's got $200,000 worth of streaming equipment. It's just insane. But he's doing the same kind of stuff. He's got like, you know, TVs in the corner and he's like watching the news and he's commentating on the news that he's seeing. And it's a stock trading channel, like an investment in stock trading channel. So, you know, guys like him are kind of like the new Mad Money. It's like the Mad Money guy, Jim Cramer. Like, I think a lot of people almost kind of see him as a joke now, as like out of touch. And
it looks like game showy almost. Like,
well, yeah, that, and it kind of over time feels like he was on the side of the big corporations and not like the retail investors, you know,
that whole thing.
So there's that whole element, but you look at guys like this Meet Kevin dude and it's like, guys like him are replacing what we know from the mainstream media. And, you know, the guy we were just talking to, Tom, it sounds like he's kind of doing a similar thing, right? Like, I don't know if there's really any sort of TV shows like on mainstream media where they're, you know, talking about marketing tactics and...
But the point of it, I don't know if we talked about it, maybe it's, you don't need that many of them though. You just can just have a small core group of people that really attach to everything you're doing and you're on the journey, and he's taking them along. And you could still be just as successful or whatever successful you want.
Yeah.
With a smaller group. You don't even need to be mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, with a big thing like that.
Well, and just like hitting live and just talking to me is a blast. Like, I love doing those live streams. So I'm sure like they're kind of in that same boat of just like, hopefully, like I think the thing that lights probably both of us up the most is when we're doing something like a live stream and people start asking us questions and we get into this like interactive mode where we're interacting back and forth with people asking questions. Like, that just really, really lights us up. And I think one of the reasons that you and I have not done as many live streams is we haven't gotten a lot of that same interaction and engagement while we're live. It's like a lot of times it'll come afterwards, we'll go live, right, and then people will comment when we're no longer live. But while we're actually live, it gets tough for us to just have that like one-way communication.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, like he was saying, over time, it grows and grows and grows.
Mm-hmm. But we've also never put too a shit ton of focus into it, right?
We haven't made a system about it. We haven't done a whole content plan, a schedule.
Yeah, because we did do the one live stream at the very beginning of the pandemic back in March, where we had Rich Sheffern and Roland Fraser and whatever it was, like 10 different people, Molly Mahoney and this big group of people on. And when we did that one, we mailed 2 or 3 times leading up to it. We mailed while it was live. Mm-hmm. We mailed right as different experts were going live. So we're like, hey, Rich Sheffern's going live in 5 minutes. Make sure you're jumping in. Hey, yeah. Kurt Molly's going live next. Make sure you're over here. And we actually put some marketing into it.
And it worked.
And we had thousands of people watch that live stream.
It worked. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Matt, we just need to draw up a plan.
Mm-hmm.
If we choose to do that. And this is the curse of the podcast. Now we're going down this is Dreamer's Room right here for us, y'all. But yeah, I mean, if you relate it to our podcast, we had to create a plan and a schedule that we could stick with and a system. And that's why this thing can work.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, I mean, I just like listening to our guests. And then after having that conversation going, okay, we tried that. How come he made it work, but we haven't been able to make it work? And so that's sort of the analysis that my brain goes through is like, all right, I see what he did different that we didn't do. He actually mails every time they go live. Mm-hmm. they're probably doing a lot better at getting customers into the group than we were. Like, we don't have a shit ton of follow-up emails that say, hey, go join our group next. Yeah. We're doing better with that. We're getting more and more people into the group. But, that's just kind of what I'm doing. I'm just sort of all right, so he made it work. We haven't been able to make it work. Where's that gap?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I like it. And we'll join the group and go, look up Offline Sharks on Facebook and go study them.
Because he said the videos are over the top. I want to see the over the top.
That's perfect. No, that's the whole point, is got to bring some fun into this thing, into business, marketing, whatever the heck you're doing. All right, let's wrap this bad boy up.
Do it.
Pod hacker, give a shout out there, why not?
Yeah,
that's we were talking about one of our groups. That's one of our groups. We have a whole community in there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do some cool stuff with them. So pod hackers are behind the scenes of what we're doing, but it's not all about us. It's about basically a badass system that can support a podcast or a bunch of other content. It's actually and a bunch of other content. So all this content we're talking about, live streams, if you're doing live streams, YouTube, all that stuff, well, it could be a podcast too.
Yep.
And there's a whole system behind it. That's what we walk you through. It's a membership, so there's a bunch of people, community, and a bunch of expert sessions. So bringing on people that could apply some new strategy, like maybe a live streaming strategy to podcasts.
Yep.
Because all of it's connected. So Podhacker is the new membership that we're teaching all that. It's a cool community. People are loving it.
Yep. Podhacker.com. You might be on the wait. You might have to get on the wait list because we kind of open it and close it. But if you go to podhacker.com, you can get on that wait list. And as soon as a spot opens, we'll hook you up because we'd love to have you.
Hook you up. And then we also have a great sponsor called Easy Webinar. And you can do a many of things with it. And we actually pulled up the good old landing page here.
Yeah.
And Matt, you want to just rattle off some here?
Yeah. You could do MLM recruitment. Did you know that?
Why would you start with that? No, I'm just kidding. Yes, you can.
I don't know. It's the one that stands out. You can generate leads, grow your email list, onboarding new customers, training seminars, sell physical products, sell digital products, demonstrate your product or software, build your credibility in your industry, inner office training, show people you can help them by actually helping them. What?
Hi. What? My name is Matt Wolf.
Human resources compliance, and of course, MLM recruitment.
Start it and end it.
MLM recruitment.
Your favorite topic.
Yes, MLM recruitment.
Hey, if you're doing MLM stuff, good on you.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's...
If you are.
Recruiting the people.
You can use Easy Webinar for it if you are.
You can. And that's the whole point, is that it's very flexible. Are you going to be that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know if I can complete my statement. You can finish this up.
All right. I'll finish this one up. So everybody go over to easywebinar.com/hustle. And Casey Zeman over at Easy Webinar is hooking you up with a big discount for being a listener. So if you go to easywebinar.com, you can still get it, but you're not going to get it as cheap as if you get it at easywebinar.com/hustle.
Why would you do a disservice to yourself and go to the main website when we and Mr. Casey and his team are hooking you up big time.
Yeah.
Go to Slash Hustle. That's Slash what it's Hustle. All about. EasyWebinar.com/hustle.
Yeah.
I can't be the show man like that.
Yeah.
You're doing good, man.
What you should do is just type in like any company's URL and put slash hustle on it because it might be our affiliate link. Although this is not an affiliate link, so.
No, it's not. But yeah, might as well just scour the web.
Yes.
Any cool tool, just slap on slash hustle.
Yes.
Back, see what happens. You might find some stuff that's not related to us. So.
Yes.
Warning.
And if you haven't already, make sure you join our group where we might start doing some live streams like what he's talking about. Well, we will. It's just. We may not be as consistent so quickly.
We're not going to commit to that publicly right now. We know better. We've done that before, and we're not going to do that quite yet.
I can guarantee there will be live streams.
There will be, yes.
Because we do live streams.
Do.
We do them. So, but make sure you go to flowchartgroup.com. You can get the action guide for this episode by giving us your email address when you join the group. And also, there's a lot of cool stuff in the group. So flowchartgroup.com, get the notes, get the group, get the goods, and we'll see you inside.
That was good.
Yeah, it just flowed, didn't it?
Just wrap it up, man. Hey, what else we got? Hey, share this episode around if someone wants to learn some cool stuff about Matt's hovering above the... Just go share, subscribe. We love you. Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Before taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.
Go get it.